We see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day and the dark sacred night. And we think to ourselves, what a wonderful world. We hear babies cry, we watch them grow. They'll learn much more than we'll ever know. And we think to ourselves, what a wonderful world. Yes, we think to ourselves, what a wonderful world. Music and words from that classic song by Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World. Starting our service here this morning with Kensington Unitarians in London. Welcome to everyone who's joining us online this morning. Welcome to those of you who might be watching this as a video sometime in the future. I hope life is treating you well. And welcome to everyone here in church in Notting Hill this early summer Sunday morning. If we've not met before, I'm Sarah Tinker, and it's good to be here with all of you. The title of today's gathering is Moments of Wonder, Lives of Wonder. And it has a really simple message that by encouraging ourselves to notice the wonders that are around us and within us, we can increase our capacity to experience wonder, even in, I think, those times when life is tough and burdensome. Moments of wonder can lift our spirits. So, with that in mind, I invite us all to settle ourselves into this time and this place in which we are in. Let's get comfy and maybe take one of those gentle, calming breaths. Taking in that which might help to nourish and anchor us in this here and now. Breathing out and releasing ourselves maybe from those everyday tasks and concerns. A allowing us to be with ourselves, be with one another, and to be with the God of our hearts and our understanding, that which holds us all. And we light, as we always do, our chalice flame. The light of our creative spirits, the light of our wise souls, the light of our wondering and curious minds, the light of love for our unique bodies. Illuminate our hearts and the spaces between them in this sacred and unfolding time. So I'm going to invite us in singing our first hymn this morning, as always with the reminder that it's fine not to sing if you'd rather. I do have to remind myself that my own enthusiasm for hymn singing is not universally shared. So feel free to simply read along, certainly enjoy it. But we're going to be singing our first hymn, which is number 247 in this green hymn book. And it's got beautifully poetic yet simple words, this hymn. It really is enjoyable just to read them. And the words are going to also appear on our screen. And, you know, free to sing, hum along, whatever you want to do to this hymn, which ends with the lines, "Our night dreams, our daydreams, our thoughts ranging wide. We live with a whole world of wonder inside." Take it away, George. That leads us into a time of prayer and reflection. So let's just ready ourselves for a turning inwards, a connecting, as I invite you to join now in prayer and reflection. To be fully present here and now in this sacred time and space, with ourselves, with each other, and with that which is larger than ourselves. As we align with the source of all life, all love, all hope, known by many names and in many ways. We don't know who or what you are, or even whether you can be called a who or what. Words fail us, and our minds fail when we ponder the enormity, diversity, complexity, wonder and beauty of our universe and our world. And yet we sense, more than know, that our lives are part of a larger life, that we are indeed connected with everyone and everything in one interdependent web of being, and that there is something both within us and beyond us that nurtures and sustains our lives and life itself. Something that calls us and all life to greater wholeness and harmony. If we can, let's give thanks this morning for the gifts and blessings of life, for this beautiful day, for the wonder and mystery of life, for neighbours, friends, families, for opportunities to learn and love and grow, for the love and support of others in times of illness or despair. And we remember too that others here in this room, in this city and around the world are living in poverty, hunger, fear, illness, isolation, violence, economic insecurity. In the silence of this room and in the silence of our hearts, may we hear a call to a wider perspective, a deeper resolve. May we live with greater compassion and care. May we touch each other more deeply, hear each other more clearly, and see each other's joys and sorrows as truly our own. May we face the uncertainties, the tragedies of life, with faith and courage, knowing that life is good and we are not alone. And in these moments of silence, may our hearts speak silently the prayers of our lives, our soul's joys and sorrows, our hopes and our dreams. And when possible, may the prayers of our hearts be matched by the work of our hands. And may that be for the greater good of all. Amen. Well, we get to sing again now. Our next hymn, which is number 36 in the Green Book, it's continuing our theme today of wonder, from the wonder of the star-filled cosmos to the wonders within us, we earth-born children of a star. Let's sing together.
This is What Song by Reverend Victoria Safford. What if there were a universe, a cosmos, that began in shining blackness, out of nothing, out of fire, out of a single silent breath, and into it came billions and billions of stars, stars beyond imagining, and near one of them a world, a blue-green world so beautiful that learned clergymen could not even speak about it cogently. And brilliant scientists, in trying to describe it, began to sound like poets with their physics, with their mathematics, their empirical, impressionistic musings. What if there were a universe in which a world was born out of a smallish star, and into that world, at some point, flew red-winged blackbirds, and into it swam sperm whales, and into it bloomed crocuses, and into it, at some point, grew onions out of the soil, and in went Mount Everest, and also the coyote we've spotted in the woods about a mile from here, just after sunrise on these mornings when the moon is full. The very scent of him makes his brother, our dog, insane with fear and joy and ancient inbred memory. Into that world came animals and elements and plants and imagination, the mind and the mind's eye. If such a universe existed and you noticed it, what would you do? What song would come out of your mouth? What prayer? What praises? What sacred offering? What whirling dance? What religion and what reverential gesture would you make to greet the world every single day that you were in it? So Sarah has asked me to do a short reflection, which I wrote very quickly, but hopefully it'll have some meaning. As I read through the reading for the first time, my initial response was, well, yes, this all does exist. This is the world that we live in. The universe does give us the blooming crocuses and the red-winged blackbirds. The wind can lift the tiniest hairs on our naked arms in the spring. It gives us this and so much more. Often, however, we forget to notice it. We fail to take in the beaming beauty and richness that is before us at every moment. But I just had a very tangible experience of people who do notice and who are grateful for all the world is giving. This was on my recent trip to Nepal. While we did not make it to Everest, we did ascend to a place called Mount Muktinath at 4,000 meters. That's located in the lower Mustang region. The Muktinath Temple that sits at the top is significant in that it is a spiritual pilgrimage site for both Hindus and Buddhists. The area is rich with both Nepalese and Tibetan culture and religion. It's set in a beautiful landscape of rugged mountains, lush valleys, and picturesque villages. What was so remarkable about this place was the witnessing of the hundreds, even thousands, who were climbing the arduous steps to the temple to pay homage to the gods and spirits, and to give reverence, humility, and respect to the land, the mountains, and to all the beauty and creations of the universe. There was the unceasing bowing to show gratitude, the pujas of flowers, rice, and fruit being offered, the mantras being chanted, and the quiet meditations being practiced, all giving unquestionable evidence of the appreciation for this bountiful universe. An orchestra celebrating the world. We heard the constant greeting of Namaste, which of course means a respectful hello, but even more significantly, it calls into being the belief of a mighty life force of connection and unity. I was without doubt inspired by these pilgrims who traveled many miles and climbed mountains, this mountain, to celebrate life given and the power of nature. But it doesn't have to be quite so monumental. The theme for today reminds us of those moments of wonder, which can be the simple things, but still powerful and still poignant. Like when I entered my house upon return and found a vase of peonies, or peonies as I grew up saying, that's my favorite flower, that a friend had left for me on my dining room table. I can't think of anything more wondrous than the fully blossomed peony. And I was really happy to see when I walked in today that we have some beautiful peonies here. Thank you.
Thank you, Julia. And I think that's a great message. Don't bother climbing mountains to get your moments of wonder. Just buy yourself a beautiful bunch of flowers or encourage somebody else to buy them for you. So no expense spared. If you're in here in church here today, we have pebbles for you. So everybody is welcome to come and get a pebble if you didn't get one when you came in. I'm just going to get one for George, our pianist, or maybe two. You can have two. And as a government health warning, it's a reminder that these aren't sweets. If you're at home, you may be safer just imagining a pebble to hold in your hand. And this is a guided meditation, perhaps a bit longer than we sometimes have here. And I'm really grateful for the writer of it, who's Joyce Rupp. I don't know if you've come across Joyce Rupp. Some of us went to hear her speak a few years ago at Heathrop College. She's a Catholic author and facilitator, a member of the Servite Order, and she's somebody who really writes beautifully about living in this world and its wonders. So in this meditation, we are invited, if we want, to hold a pebble in our hands. And I'll read Joyce's words slowly, and feel free to follow them or just to use your own imaginations at this moment, whatever works best for you. And when this meditation ends, we'll then have a couple of minutes of shared silence. That will end with a chime from our bell, and then it leads into a really beautiful Mozart sonata that our pianist today, George Ireland, is going to play. So the invitation is to settle ourselves for this quieter time, to find that stillness within, if we can, that position that's right for us, to be at ease. And let's consider this seemingly insignificant pebble that we're imagining in our mind's eye or holding in our palm. It's the kind of thing that we might easily pass by or not notice stepping on it. But if we consider closely the colour, the shape, the size and the texture, maybe then we can imagine the amazing journey this small bit of creation has taken. For we are holding in our hands or in our mind's eyes a piece of stardust from billions of years ago. The elements of this small pebble have come from somewhere in the universe. A star composed of gases exploded and was strewn into space, and it eventually formed hot lava that became the planet we call Earth. Ever so slowly, this mixture became solid, creating an outer crust on the planet. And this crust developed into solid layers of rocks composed of minerals. What we hold is some of the earliest part of our planet. Where was this pebble's first home? How many homes has it had? Was it part of an upheaval of minerals that shaped into a mountain? Did it experience being within a volcanic eruption? Was it at the bottom of a lake? In the seam of a glacier? Did a river carry it along for thousands of miles? Has it been washed out from a dark cave? We pause for a while to think about the long history of this seemingly insignificant thing. This pebble has known a journey of dissolving, joining, shaping, becoming part of a solid, large form, and then a smaller and smaller one. What history it has known in its expansive life. If a pebble could speak, it might have a lot to say to you. Listen for a moment to what it might speak to you if it could. What we hold here may seem dead, but it has its own life, a small electromagnetic field of energy. We can't detect this, but scientists know it's there. Let's sense again what we hold, an invisible, unfelt energy, carrying an ancient history filled with stories. We might lift the pebble to our cheek and let its sacredness touch us. We might imagine our union with the long evolving history it has known. Because this little pebble is allowing us to touch a star. Holding our pebble in our hands, we might give thanks for its existence and message, for it tells us of the sacredness of even tiny, seemingly inert things. Let us keep something in our lives that might catch our attention, like a small pebble found again in a pocket. Maybe it will strengthen us when our sense of wonder and gratitude has weakened. Maybe it will remind us of the sacredness of everything that exists. Maybe it will remind us that we too are stardust. Let's rest in quietness together now for a while.
Bill Bryson writes in the introduction to his book, A Short History of Nearly Everything. To be here now, alive in the 21st century and smart enough to know it, you had to be extremely, make that miraculously fortunate in your personal ancestry. Consider the fact that for 3.8 billion years, a period of time older than the Earth's mountains and rivers and oceans, every one of your forebearers on both sides has been attractive enough to find a mate, healthy enough to reproduce, and sufficiently blessed by fate and circumstances to do so. Not one of your pertinent ancestors was squashed, devoured, drowned, starved, stranded, stuck fast, untimely wounded, or otherwise deflected from its life's quest of delivering a tiny charge of genetic material to the right partner at the right moment, in order to perpetuate the only possible sequence of hereditary combinations that could result eventually, astoundingly, and all too briefly, in you.
Thank you, Hannah, for that reading, which is humorously reminding us how blooming fortunate we are to be alive. It is amazing that we, each of us, as these unique individuals, that we actually exist. And I don't know how it is for all of you, but I'm someone who needs these kinds of reminders from time to time, especially in times when life feels like hard work, as I know it does for some of us quite a bit of the time. You know, those times when life doesn't go according to plan, when we're in pain or hardship. We know, don't we, that it's a good thing to exercise our bodies as best we can and keep our muscles strong and our joints flexible. And what I wanted to explore in creating this service was for today was the idea that our sense of wonder is like a muscle that can expand through regular use. It's a skill that we can be aware of and we can develop further. Now, the fact that I knew that dear Julia was with family in Nepal last week just made some for delightful synchronicity with Victoria Safford's piece about the wonders of our universe and how we might respond to them. She ended, Victoria Safford, her piece by asking, if such a universe existed and you noticed it, well, what would you do? What song would come out of your mouth? What prayer? What praises? What sacred offering? What whirling dance? What religion and what reverential gesture would you make to greet that world every single day you were in it? And of course, when you travel regularly on Transport for London, which we should give thanks for, it is hard sometimes to keep those lofty thoughts to the fore, isn't it? Julia, you described to us the faith life of Hindu and Buddhist pilgrims making that steep mountain climb to the temple, making those offerings, expressing that reverence. In our lives, most of us don't take part in such communal and outward expressions of faith. But I do think that by practicing our skills of noticing and practicing our ability to share with one another our moments of wonder, I think we can enhance our ways of being in this world. Because, of course, wonder connects us with other feeling states. Wonder really can help to activate what you might call a reverence for life. Think of the word awe. Now, awe has a strength within it, doesn't it? It's a suggestion that we might recognize our own position in the greater scheme of things. What might fill you with a sense of awe? Looking up at a night sky and realizing how tiny our planet Earth home is? And if our planet Earth is tiny, well, how very, very, very tiny are we, each of us individually? Experiencing a natural phenomena, a mountain, a river, a waterfall. Noticing some other creature living its life. Birds in the garden, maybe. A pet happily playing. Meeting a newborn child, perhaps. Julia and I have both been teachers, and we realise that actually watching children, both learning and at play, is a really remarkable aspect of human life. That ability of ours to be completely absorbed in what we are doing and to enjoy it in almost every part of our being. I'm in awe of that life force within us. So awe and wonder are inextricably connected, aren't they? And they also connect with other feeling states, with curiosity. But when we're in touch with feelings of awe and wonder, our curiosity is activated. We want to know more about this phenomena whatever it is. We want to explore and understand. And I'd add into that mix our sense of gratitude that accompanies our wonder. Awe and wonder remind me to give thanks. Gratitude that I am able to witness this, to be part of it even. Gratitude for being alive. And I'll also add into this collection of feeling states that sense of mystery, that realization that our knowledge is going to be forever partial, that we as individuals and as a human race, we know so much and so very, very little about all of this. There's always more to know and to understand. And I think that kind of humility feels crucial for the times in which we're now living, when we have to learn to work together as one community and one human race. And it's so hard to do that. It's not surprising then that such a task can feel overwhelming, but I hope our sense of wonder can assist us. For if we notice those small things, small delights, if we can be open to the unexpected pleasures of life, we allow a wellspring of possibility to flow. We enable our hearts to stay open and undefended. I think we're then going to be better equipped to do the little we can do with the little that we have to create our world as a more just and loving place for all beings. May that be so. Amen. And we offer you now the chance to sing a fabulous Welsh hymn tune with great words. It's called A World Transfigured. It's number 209 in the Green Hymn Book. The words will also appear on your screens. Let us appreciate this world and this music. I think we know this one. Thank you, George. So time now for some announcements. My thanks go to George Ireland for great music today. I leave inspired. Thank you to Ramona and Jane for vital tech support here at in church, and to Charlotte for co-hosting and welcoming everybody online. This service wouldn't happen without you three doing all of this. Thank you, Julia, who's just left to make the coffees. Thank you to her for our reading and reflection, and to you, Hannah, for reminding us how lucky we are to be alive. And everybody, do think about staying on after the service in church here today for Hannah's yoga class. It's good to have a stretch, isn't it? If you are here today on Zoom, do hang around afterwards for a chat with Charlotte. And those of you who are here in person, there'll be drinks after the service and chance to have a conversation. This coming Wednesday, the 12th of June, everyone's welcome to join the community choir here in church. That's 7 to 9 p.m. Lots of fun. No singing ability required for that one. And then on Friday, the 14th, there's an online heart and soul contemplative spiritual gathering, 7 p.m. And this week's theme is curiosity, led by your minister, Jane Blackall. Email Jane if you'd like to join that. Doesn't that fit beautifully with the theme Wonder, Jane? You'd think we planned these things. There's going to be a community service here next Sunday, and that's going to be followed by Margaret Marshall's Finding Your Voice singing class. Again, everyone's welcome to that. And there'll also be the monthly in-person heart and soul gathering, and that's a week on Wednesday, the 19th of June. And then looking further ahead, there's the Better Book Club on the 23rd of June, when you're going to be looking at the Book of Forgiving by Desmond and Mofo Tutu. So ask Jane about joining that. All the details of this are on your order of service sheet for you to take away. It's also in the Friday email. So if you don't get that email, do sign up for it, because then you know what's happening every week. And as always, that reminder that the congregation has a life well beyond Sundays, and we really encourage everyone to keep in touch and look out for each other. So thank you to all of you who are actively nurturing those supportive connections. So I think that's everything. Just time for our closing words and music now. George is going to be playing a fine piece by Haydn. I don't know how either Haydn or George managed to fit so many notes in. It's a sailor's song, and you may want to do a little jig to it. But first, our closing words are based on Irish writer John O'Donoghue's words, "A treasure house of wonder," which could describe life itself. Writer John O'Donoghue describes our human creative processes as a treasure house of wonders within us. He writes that every heart is full of creative material. There are depths in us that are hungering towards the light. And the deeper we attend to the soul, the more we realize what a treasure house we have inherited. So in the week ahead, may we be people who pay attention. Let's pay attention to those wellsprings of creative potential lying within each and every one of us. Let's pay attention to the many sources of wonder that surround us each and every day. When our spirits sink low, may we be uplifted once again by life's wonders. When our spirits fly high, may we carry others with us as we celebrate these treasure houses of wonder that we have in our lives. Amen. Amen. Go well, all of you, and blessed be.
Thank you.